Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. So we are still celebrating the passing and the life of Rush Limbaugh. I got to tell you, as the memories and the well wishes and the tributes have quite frankly been overwhelming to read all of the stories from so many of my fellow colleagues in the talk radio world. It really is something to see the impact that Rush had on so many people. And there is certainly going to be a void. There's never going to be another Rush Limbaugh, just like there's never going to be another Paul Harvey. But I got to tell you something. There are a lot of haters out there. And some of the things that we have seen on social media, some of the things that we have seen on some of the news organization websites, Associated Press, The New York Times, The Huffington Post, the absolute worst. And it's pretty despicable. The words rot in hell and good riddance were trending on Twitter yesterday in connection to Rush Limbaugh. And then there are people like Sink Younger from the Young Turks who wrote this on Twitter. And again, it just you really do have to wonder about liberals. They are very unhappy people. They truly are. You know what separates conservatives from the liberals and the leftist? We are a happy bunch. We love life. We embrace life. We want everyone to live life to the fullest. And when someone passes, as a conservative, our reaction is not one out of celebration. It's out of sorrow. And there is a spirit of sympathy. And that comes from who we are as conservatives. It comes from who we are as Christians. We are happy people. I mean, look, I wrote a book about this. The idea that we can never adapt the tactics of the left. We cannot be this raging, angry mob storming down the streets, burning down buildings, and beating up people because they believe something different than what we believe. That's not who we are. That goes against the very DNA that makes up a conservative. So when you try to force that sort of violent ideology, that sort of hateful ideology onto a conservative, it doesn't work. And if you are out there in the streets and you are engaged in those kinds of things, then you are not a real conservative. You are a fake conservative, because that's not what we do. And by and large, I would say that a good percentage of those people who are conservative out there are people of faith. And those of us who are people of faith, whether you might be a Christian, you might be Jewish, we share a tradition, a Judeo-Christian tradition. And that tradition places value on the life of a human being. So when President Trump, and you might remember this, President Trump had just completed a rally back during the final days of the campaign, and word came that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed away. And the president was asked about this as he was about to get on board Air Force One. Clearly, the president had not been told of the news. It was something that had happened almost spontaneously, and he was caught off guard. And what we got to see there was a very genuine conservative reaction to someone who passed away. There was a sense of sorrow, of loss. And even though Ruth Bader Ginsburg was diametrically opposed to the president in every possible way, there was still compassion there. There was a shared sense of sorrow. There was sympathy. And you heard that in the president's voice. It was a very real moment. Unscripted, unedited, it was just life happening. And then you look at the reaction from people on the left. to the passing of Rush Limbaugh and the evil and the hate and the vitriol that's coming out of these people. Here's what the Young Turks wrote about Rush Limbaugh. The idea that you say artificially nice things about people after they die is weird. I've never understood the logic of it. Rush Limbaugh was a terrible person while he was alive. He made a living by attacking the powerless. His death does not in any way change or redeem that. Well, first of all, that's clearly a load of hooey, and it's not even grade A hooey. I mean, it's pretty dismal. Crooked media host Erin Ryan. What a terrible person she is. My goodness. Here's what she wrote. God has canceled Rush Limbaugh. And she went on to say more horrible things. I feel bad for someone like her. She's a member of the mainstream media. And I don't know about her upbringing, but clearly, based on this, it could not be good. Clearly, she was not raised right. Or maybe she was, and I feel sympathy for her parents right now, for her family members who have to see this kind of vitriol, this kind of hate in writing. I feel bad for her and her parents. Rush Limbaugh was a good man. Rush Limbaugh was a flawed man. Rush Limbaugh was a sinful man. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We all are flawed. We all are sinful. But Rush Limbaugh found what many of us in this listening audience have found in our lives. We found redemption through a relationship with God. We came to that point in our lives when we made the decision to serve a much higher power. And from everything I've read about Rush Limbaugh, this was a man who gave millions and millions and millions of dollars to charity. Many times, people would not even know that Rush Limbaugh was the guy writing a check, that Rush Limbaugh was the guy that was paying for the meal and generously tipping the waitstaff. As a matter of fact, I was reading a story, and I cannot remember who wrote this, but they said Rush was notorious. He would never let anyone else pay for the meal. And the waiters and the waitstaff appreciated that because Rush always tipped them generously, so probably more so than if somebody else had picked up the tab. But that's the kind of man he was. And really, you're going to come out here, folks, and you're going to bash a man who has died? I don't care if you are a Republican or a Democrat, conservative, or liberal. You don't just do that. You don't do that. There's something called decency, human decency. We're missing that in American society, and the left and liberals at large are completely missing that. And that says a lot about who they are. So Grandmother Stearns, years ago, used to tell us something as we were growing up in the Deep South. And here's what Grandmother Stearns said. And this is advice for all of those folks on the left, the New York Times, Huffington Post, the Young Turks. If you don't have anything nice to say, it's just best to hush up now. So hush up, folks. Just hush up. Got to take a break. We're going to open up the phone lines. President Trump back, and he is fighting mad. He's kicking butt and taking names, and we're going to play some great audio. We're going to talk to Gene the Superfan. He's back. Got a couple of lines open, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm excited that President Trump is back and he sounds re-energized. He sounds happy. Well, of course, he's happy because he's a conservative. And what do we say around this joint? Conservatives are naturally happy people. He is fired up. And again, I go back to something we said a few days ago. the mainstream media very upset because he said some unkind things about Mitch McConnell, which were all true, by the way. He really is a sour puss, if you will. But they were upset and they said, how dare he attack Mitch McConnell? How dare that man, that orange man, how dare he? How many times do we have to say this? President Trump never attacks. No. He fires back. You see, this is something about President Trump that you may not realize, that President Trump, he can take a punch. But here's the problem for the folks throwing that punch. Oh, he punches back, and he will knock you back into next Tuesday. And that's exactly what he did to Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell out there saying all sorts of horrible things about Donald John Trump. And what did President Trump do? He was sitting in his palatial study at Mar-a-Lago, and he was taking those punches, not one, not two, not three, dare I say four or five punches. And this president was still standing, and he was waiting. He was waiting. And just like in The Godfather, when the movie producer woke up with a horse head in his bed, Donald Trump came a-calling. And it wasn't pretty. But Donald Trump, he does not strike the first blow, but he'll punch you out. And that's exactly what he did. So anyway, the president making his rounds on Fox, One America News, Newsmax TV, our favorite TV network, and he weighed in on the 2024 presidential election, talking about what he is going to do, what his plans are. There are people that want him to run. Others say, well, maybe he should just get out on the campaign trail. Let's take a listen.
We have tremendous support. I won't say yet, but we have tremendous support. And I'm looking at poll numbers that are through the roof. You saw what happened yesterday. We went up. I'm the only guy gets impeached and my numbers go up. I'm going to figure that one out. Let's say somebody gets impeached. Typically, your numbers would go down. They would go down like a dead balloon. But the numbers are very good. They're very high. I think they're higher than they were before the election. And they were high at the election. And they liked the job. Look, we did a great job. We rebuilt our military. Think of it. We lowered taxes, got rid of regulations. How about Space Force? Just Space Force alone would be a big achievement. First time in 74 years, a new branch of the U.S. military. So, you know, all of the things we've done. And the border, we built the wall. Mexico was all getting ready to pay for the wall. We were going to charge them at the border, small fee. And Mexico would have paid for the wall. They were all set. They gave us 28,000 troops to police it before it got built. And now you see what's happening. And the president of Mexico is a great gentleman, by the way. But he put 28,000 troops on our border at my request, and we didn't pay for that. And we kept the border beautiful. And now you take a look at what's going on at the border. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Hundreds of thousands of people are going to be pouring in.
All right, so that was President Trump yesterday, back at it. He's fired up, and I know he says he's still looking at the numbers, but I'm telling you, if he's looking at the numbers I'm looking at, he ought to be throwing his hat in the ring for 2024. Steve Bannon says he ought to be the next Speaker of the House. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But the question of this hour, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump, do you want this guy out there campaigning for Republicans? Do you want him out there running for president in 2024? Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Gene, the super fan, it's been a long time, Gene. Hope you're doing good.
Thank you so much, Todd. Thank you for the call. Yeah, let me just say real quick, if I may, this is the fourth year anniversary of that wonderful hug of the American people on February 17th. 2017 on February 18th, Todd. So it's an honor to call your show on this four-year anniversary because of all the people I've met, and you're included, sir.
Gene, this was the hug seen and heard around the world, and it really kind of turned you into a celebrity.
Well, thank you so much, and I represent the story the right way, and that's why. But let me go on with your question here and everything we just heard about with the president. Superfan predicts that President Trump will run again in 2024. Okay, Todd, that's just my feeling, and I feel that that will happen. But anything he does, though, to help us out with the Republican Party, if that's the next step he wants to do, then wonderful. But this man, we miss him so much, and just hearing that interview he just did, boy, oh, boy, he's the greatest.
You know, Gene, it's interesting. When you look at a lot of the other guys that have been president, thinking about, you know, Bill Clinton, you got George W. Bush, you got Barack Hussein Obama. When those guys finished up their terms in office, they look like they had aged 40 years. But Gene, have you noticed something about President Trump? He looks the same age he looked when he took the oath of office.
Absolutely. And you know why? Of course he had stress, okay? Number one. Number two is because he did the right thing, okay, with his heart and the love, you know, and he just made it so easy for us, you know, and that's the main key. But I'll tell you one thing, Todd, it was from that, once he started doing his dance moves, you know, that really kicked it up a notch for him, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. The guy's got skill. He's got some rhythm there, Gene. I'm not going to lie.
No, he's a wonderful president, and we know everything he's done for us. It's just been outrageous. And we know We the People are movement, Todd. You know, he talks about that. We're the biggest movement ever.
Huge.
Messenger. And I feel him coming back in 2024. I really do.
All right. Hey, Gene, we're going to have to leave it there. Happy anniversary to you. Gene the Superfan calling in from Florida. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us today. A lot of stuff going on today. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Now, I wanted to play some audio. This is President Trump yesterday talking about how boring Twitter has gotten since he has left the building.
They really wanted me on Parler. And, you know, I had 89 million, but that was because they held it back. And then on top of that, I had 36 million or 39 million on POTUS. And we had other sites where we had millions and millions of people. So we have, I guess, about as big as it gets. And likewise on Facebook. And they all want that. And part of the problem is mechanically they can't handle it because it's too many people. It's bigger than they are by many times. And they want to... And I'll tell you, it's not the same. If you look at what's going on with, Twitter, I understand it's become very boring, and millions of people are leaving. They're leaving it because it's not the same, and I can understand that. And so we'll see what happens. We're negotiating with a number of people, and there's also the other option of building your own. I mean, you can literally build your own set, but we were being really harassed on Twitter. They were putting up all sorts of flags, I guess they call them. They were flagging almost anything you said. Everything I was saying was being flagged. It's disgraceful. And yet you have other foreign countries saying the worst things possible, and they don't even talk about it. But it's become very boring. We don't want to go back to Twitter.
All right, so that was President Trump yesterday, and it's true. It's just Twitter is just, you know, ho-hum. And beyond that, the Twitter overlords, these brown shirts that run the Twitter feeds, they are banning conservatives left and right. We have lost at least 40,000, I would say, supporters since the election. It's just unbelievable. And we had a good many people join us over on Parler. But the problem with Parler, the thing isn't ever working. You know, if you're going to send out a press release to everybody saying, hey, we've got a brand new, really cool social media platform, and we want you to join, well, that's all well and good, but it has to actually work. And so far, it has not worked. We are using Gab. I don't know if any of you folks are out there using Gab, but that seems to be okay, but certainly not the same levels of engagement that you would see on other networks. That's just the way it is, I reckon. So anyway, the president's saying that he very well may be starting his own social media platform, and that is interesting. There was a report out yesterday that Brad Parscale, the former campaign manager who took a wrong turn in life and Well, we all know what happened there. It was very unpleasant, but apparently he's back in good graces with the president, having a meeting at Mar-a-Lago. And Pascal, say what you want to about the guy, but he is a social media, he is a digital genius. And that could possibly be something that is in the works. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. Keith in North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. Hi, Keith. What's going on?
Well, I threw in something else other than what I told Grace, but I just have to do this. Yesterday, I was wearing a T-shirt listening to Free Frogs. And I've got relatives that live there in Northeast Arkansas, and they're sending me pictures of their cars buried in snow.
Oh, it is. It's not good out here, Keith. I'm telling you. Arkansas, Mississippi,
I know,
Tennessee.
I've lived there before. I know it's not. But I won't tell you what their comments were. I'm afraid we couldn't put them on the radio. But, you know, you were talking about how the Democrat president looks so bad. Why don't they have appointed to them one of these Hollywood makeup artists so they can look good again? But that's not why I called you. I called you to say it's funny how people who never had a real job criticize someone who's created thousands of jobs. And I'm talking about McConnell and Trump.
Well, you know, it's a fair point you raise, Keith. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that under President Trump, you had a lot of people who went back to work. Historic job growth in minority communities, especially African Americans here in the United States. Nobody else was able to do that. Barack Hussein Obama, as a matter of fact, was responsible for keeping people chained to the federal government and those federal programs. And what happened? Just like Abraham Lincoln came in, the Emancipation Declaration, Donald Trump, he freed people from the bonds of government so they could live the American dream. They could claim the American dream. That's what Donald Trump did. And then you look at Joe Biden, and what was one of the first things he did? In between signing all these executive orders, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline, putting thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans out of work. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what Joe Biden and the Democrats are all about. They do not want minority communities to succeed. And this goes all the way back to the founding of the Democrat Party. This goes all the way back. The Democrat Party, in its heart of heart, you want to talk about root causes. They are rooted, grounded in racism. And all you have to do is go through and look at the history of the Democrat Party. Look at who Joe Biden used to hang around with. Senator Robert Byrd, Senator KKK Byrd himself, a former Klan leader. This is who Joe Biden is. This is what Joe Biden is. And this is what the Democrat Party is. So whenever they're out there hollering, oh, you're a racist. No. Just understand, whatever they're calling you, whatever they're accusing you of, they are responsible for. Look at the Project Lincoln. Look at those guys. I mean, not only did they tolerate a pedophile in their midst, but they embraced it and then they covered it up. And these people want to sit in judgment of Donald Trump? That's sickening, ladies and gentlemen, just sickening. All right, let's go to the phones. Rick in Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Rob? Okay, I just wanted to highlight that a lot of times I'm hearing you talk about that people that are non-religious have no care for life. I want to highlight, I am an atheist.
Wait.
Pro-life.
Wait, Rick, when did I ever say that?
It's more of an insinuation. It's the way I'm interpreting it. If I am incorrect, by all means, correct me. But I wanted to highlight, and I think it's something that needs to be out. There are many of us who are not religious. We are very much pro-life. We are pro-Trump. We are pro-faith. We're pro-freedom. And what we need to be focusing on is not necessarily the differences between people of color, people of religion, people of non-religion, but people who are patriotic, people who love freedom versus the communists that are here to take that freedom. I'm telling you now, brother, I listen to you every day. Okay? There are things I agree with, things I don't agree with it, but the things that are important to me about what you say is the patriotism, the pro-Trump, the fact that we want our freedoms, we want our liberties, we want the ability to be who we are and to say what we feel and to stand up and live our own lives and to make our own lives succeed or fail based on our own actions. And that's the message I want to make sure is out there. Just because some of us don't have a religion doesn't mean we're out there trying to destroy or that we're anti-faith or that we don't value life. Because many of us value life in depth. That includes the abomination of abortion. That's my piece, brother.
Well, Rick, first of all, thank you for listening to the program, and thank you for calling in. I mean, this is an important part of what we do here on this radio program. We want to provide a national platform for folks to share their thoughts and opinions. I will say this, and I think I've been pretty clear about this on our program, as a conservative, but more importantly, as a Christian conservative, I believe that the United States of America was founded and is based upon Judeo-Christian teachings, concepts, precepts, ideas. And one of those ideas is that you are free to live your life however you want to live your life in this country, provided it does not impact somebody else's. For example, you can't go out there and rob somebody. That's a crime. You can't go out there and shoot somebody. That's a crime. But what I'm saying is that in my estimation and in my readings of our founding fathers and their histories and their books and their essays that they wrote, we are a Christian nation. And it is under this concept of being a Judeo-Christian nation that people of all faiths can worship freely without fear of persecution. And Rick, people like yourself of no faith, you're an atheist. You can be an atheist without fear of persecution in the United States of America. That does not happen anywhere else on the planet except for right here in the United States of America. So for me, if you are an atheist soldier and you're out there fighting the good fight and protecting me and my family, then I say, you know, God bless you. And I don't mean that, you know, in an offensive way. I mean that sincerely. God bless you. If you are a member of the LGBT community and you're out there in the military fighting for this country, that is a noble cause. But again, I'm also a Christian. And I would, Rick, I would want you to have a relationship with God. I would like for you to know who God is and what he can do for your life. But it is not my right to force you to believe anything. That's not who we are in America. And I'm glad that you are a conservative, and I am glad you are pro-life. And I'm glad that you value those things and that you are a patriot. So, Rick, I don't look at you as a lesser person. I look at you as a fellow countryman.
Can I make a comment?
Go right ahead.
Okay. For the vast majority of what you said in the beginning, I agree with you completely, totally, and utterly. Yes, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian ideas, and the ideas are good ideas. I'm not negativing you on any of that, and I agree with that. The second part to that is I want to say I do appreciate your putting in the bluff. I don't take that as offensive in any way. I value your faith. I value the ideas of people of faith. I think it's our differences that help us learn from each other. And hearing you say that does make me feel a lot better. It's just how it was something I wanted to make sure was put out there.
That no, no.
Yes, there's a lot of leftists that are, well, they're just, they don't believe in freedom. And thus, that is where the value to human life comes into play are the non-religious on the left side. Those of us who are conservative, whether we be of religion, whether it be not of religion, whether it be gay, straight, whatever, all value that one thing, the freedom to be, to do, and represent ourselves, and yes, to value the fact that our country, the United States of America, is the one and only place that such a lifestyle, no matter where it comes from, can be had. And again, that's just something I want to put out there. No, brother, well, you do a great job. Thank you for standing up, and I appreciate you letting me have my statement.
All right. Rick, thank you for calling in, and keep listening, and give us a holler back one of these days. But I will say this, if we're not a Christian nation, if we take God out of the equation, it doesn't work. And President John Adams knew this, and that's why he wrote about this in his memoirs. That's why he told us that our way of life, our way of governing is wholly inadequate for anyone else other than a moral and religious people. And when you see what's happening in our country right now, this is what happens when you try to take God out of the equation. You get chaos. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
A real story. Grace Baker just sent this to me a few moments ago, coming in from Capitol Hill. Folks, if you are driving, just pull on over to the side of the road. This is one of those stories, Grace. House Democrats have introduced a bill to ban twice impeached presidents from being buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Now, the Democrats also want to ban federal funds from going to building or displaying their names or even acknowledging their achievements.
I thought this was a parody when I first saw it, but then I saw the source and I was like, okay, this is not a parody.
This is from Breaking 911.
They've been pretty reliable, so.
And there's a long list of Democrats who have signed on to this. It's House Resolution 484. The bill is called the No Glory for Hate Act.
Even the name is stupid.
So this is bonkers. But this, again, shows you the level of hate and vitriol, Grace, that the Democrats have for this president.
It also shows how obsessed they are with him. That they can't just move on. That they are they're still obsessing over him because they're that afraid he's going to come back.
They can't quit the man.
No.
They cannot hit. They just can't quit him.
Nope. They cannot.
So again, the No Glory for Hate Act would ban the government from commemorating the former President Trump in any way. It would prevent federal projects, buildings, statues, or lands from being named after Mr. Trump. And California Democrat Linda Sanchez is the one who introduced this. And she said that she wants to stop the Trump name from being used on anything, including a park bench.
Oh, my gosh. Next thing you know, they'll consider Trump a cuss word on TV and stuff. And if you say it, it goes beep.
Trump you.
Beep.
Hey, Sanchez. Beep. Trump you, lady. Unbelievable. But again, folks, you need to understand this whole nonsense about, oh, let's just all unify and hug and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah, no.
And Barry Manilow tunes. And,
yeah, no.
Oh, we're just going to love everyone and huggy, huggy, huggy. No. While they're hugging you, they're stabbing you in the back. That's what's going on.
Sure.
All right. So anyway, we'll talk more about this. We will post the actual resolution on our website or at the live show blog. But here you have it. The Democrats now introducing legislation that would ban anything from being named after President Trump. It would also ban the president from being buried in Arlington National Cemetery. No Glory for Hate Act. Unbelievable. Is there a sort, you know, what sort of message do we need to be sending to these Democrats up on Capitol Hill? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, maybe, just maybe, the Republicans should introduce some legislation of their own, banning former presidents who fornicated in the Oval Office with interns from being buried at Arlington. Just throwing that out there. We could call it the Lewinsky Act. 844-747-8868 or the cigar bill. ToddStarnes.com is our website. We'll be right back.